Well, whether we want to admit it or not, we all need friends. Friends come in many different shapes, many different sizes, many different personalities. But the idea is that we need friends. And so today we're going to be talking about getting smart about your friends. And so I want to start out with a little exercise. It's my wife. There she is. You snuck in. Good. I was wondering. All right. In the back is my wife, Krista. Will you stand up? I asked her if I could do this. Most people wouldn't be able to do this. All right. Now, if you consider yourself to be a friend of Krista, she's trying to persuade people right now, will you please stand up? Look at you, babe. Wait, I paid you. Stand up. No, I'm kidding. All right, now, those that are standing up, okay, look around, those of you that are still sitting, if you consider yourself to be a friend of any of these, will you stand up? Awesome, okay. All right, now, if you're still sitting, don't worry, if you can look around and still see anybody standing up that you would consider your friend, will you stand up? All right, good. Now, if you are still sitting, I'm not trying to embarrass you at all, but if you're standing, will you go and just introduce yourself to these people? And so, just introduce yourself real quick. All right? Now you feel extra welcome. Right? Okay. All right, here's the cool part. Now, according to Facebook, you are officially friends. So, how do you feel about that? All right? All right, you guys have a seat. Have a seat. Well, that worked out pretty well. I was kind of wondering. Well, some of you started kind of judging me immediately on my bag that I brought up on stage. You would think in a house full of three boys and only one girl, we would have some more manly bags like camo or black even. But literally, this is the only bag I could get a hold of this morning. So, but what I want to talk about, as we talk about friends, I want to kind of relate it to shoes. All right? Since we only have one woman in our house, our closet, it has a lot of shoes in it. And then there's this thing that hangs on the back of our door that has even more shoes in it. And believe it or not, there's this thing that slides under our bed and it has even more shoes in it. You get where I'm going? Okay, so I want to talk about friends because I have a few pair of shoes. These are my work boots that I try very hard not to wear. But some of you are like, man, boots. You don't need any other shoe. That's your running shoe. That's your basketball shoe. That's your work shoe. That's it. All right. So you got boots. Then you got Crocs. I really think you should be able to wear these anywhere. Church, funerals, weddings, anywhere. No. She's like fashion faux pas. Awesome. Then I've got my running shoes. Okay. Obviously, they're not dirty at all. So you can tell I don't run. Have my Crocs sandals. Okay. Got to have some sandals in your... in your deal. I do have my dress shoes, more dress shoes here for that occasion. Lawn mowing shoes, we're gonna leave those in the bag because they're a little stinky. House shoes, everybody have these? No, you don't really need them in Texas, that's right. Really? Come on. and then just a casual, you know, knockoff of Converse. So, we have all different kinds of friends, right? We have a shoe for every occasion, and some of us have friends for every occasion, right? Here's where it gets a little difficult. E. Hubbard said, a true friend is a person who knows all about you and still likes you. That's what's amazing about having friendships. Will you pray with me real quick? God, thank you. Thank you for this morning. And God, I thank you for this study of getting smart. And God, I thank you for your word and how it just breathes life into us. And so God, I pray as we move forward that you would just breathe life into this room. And God, as we look at your word and as we have fun, God, that we would walk away with the realization that true friendship is really hard to come by. But God, we have you as a Savior. That's the only friend we really need. So God, praise your name today. In Christ's name, amen. Well, Asher and I have been talking a lot more. Asher is our 4-year-old, and so we've been having a lot of conversations lately, you know, 4-year-old to 30-year-old kind of talk, you know where I'm going. And so the other day we were coming home from the Wooden Park, and it's me driving, Silas in the middle chewing on something, and Asher on the other side of Silas. And if you know Asher at all, the dude just, he likes to talk. And I don't know that I've ever told somebody to hush so much in all my life, except for my 4-year-old. And it's just like, Asher, duh, you know? You know what I'm talking about? And so we're driving home, and he just starts asking questions. Where does the sun come from? God. Where does the grass come from? God. Well, then somehow we started talking about marriage, all right? Have no idea where this direction turned. I put the blinker on, and we were there, okay? And I was really just thankful he hasn't gotten to the point where the babies come from. Going to mama for that one, okay? So we started talking about marriage. And so I started talking to him, you know, well, mommy and daddy got married, and, you know, it was a great time, and now we're now married, and we're really good friends. And so he sits there, and he starts thinking for a little while, and I can just see his wheels are turning, man. He's just, it like smoke starts coming out of his ears. They're turning so fast. And so all of a sudden he says, well, I want to marry Miss Jill. And those of you that know, Miss Jill is my secretary. And I sat there for a second, and I kind of processed that. And I said, well, buddy, Miss Jill's 61 years old. And I didn't stop there, okay, because that, you know, all right. But I said, Miss Jill's already married, buddy, so you're going to have to choose somebody else, you know. And so he's like, okay. He was okay with that. And so we're still driving, and the next thing I know, he chimes in again, and he says, well, I want to marry Shannon. I said, okay. I'm thinking through my head of all the Shannons that I know, and I said, well, Shannon who? He said, Shannon at church. I said, Shannon Locke? And he was like, yeah, I want to marry Shannon. I was like, okay. Well, let me talk to her daddy. And so we're still making arrangements. So if there's any higher bidders, just come talk to me. Not really, I'm just kidding. But the thing that Asher is doing is he's associating what he sees mommy and daddy at home with a friend, and he wants to keep that friendship close. And so in his little mind, marriage is how that happens. And so that's where I kind of want to go today. Obviously, looking at friends, I want to talk about how to make friends. All right, first topic, how to make friends. First thing, be a good friend. Be a good friend. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. How many of you, and this is where you get to participate a little bit more, how many of you ever been at a place for the very first time and you didn't know a single person? Anybody? Obviously, a lot of the college students doing that as well. Now, the approach here is typically you have to make the first step in order to make a friend, right? In most scenarios, people don't just go out of their way to introduce themselves to you. It's a society that we live in, and so if you want friends, you've got to make the first step. And this is one of the biggest things that we try to teach and train freshmen, especially as they come in, to get out of your dorm. Get out of your dorm. Get involved in some things. Go meet people. And don't be the little hermit that sits in your dorm and doesn't have any friends. Now, trust me, life is not all about having friends. I get that. But we've got to have some people that we can turn to in our lives to help us through some of the tough times. So be a good friend. It's been said that in churches especially, that the first 7 to 12 minutes, a person will decide if they're ever going to visit there again. And hopefully those of you that were still sitting, I didn't embarrass you too bad, and you'll come back and visit us some more. But 7 to 12 minutes. So can you imagine the impact that a church needs to have in that first greeting of introducing themselves to the people? Because honestly, people that walk into a church for the very first time, it's a pretty bold move on their part, if we're honest with ourselves. And if as a church we're not willing to greet them when they come in, we've made the first mistake. And so being a friend is taking the first step. The worst thing about being a friend, not the worst thing about being a friend, but the worst thing about the very initial impact that you make on a friend is whether or not you listen to them. And those of you that introduce yourselves to me a lot, you probably see in my mind, I'm there with you, I'm shaking your hand, I'm trying to remember your name, but honestly, I've probably got 10 other things that are going on in my head. And what I really need to be doing is focusing everything I have right on you. And so being a good friend is being a listener. It's being able to be there and have your attention on that person. Second, choose friends wisely. Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." I need a volunteer. Jackie, can you come here? I'm going to embarrass you real quick. This will be fun. All right. There's a silly demonstration. Just stand here for just a sec. There's a silly demonstration that I want to kind of give you this idea, going back to this verb, all right? The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Now, a typical relationship, whether it's husband and wife or friend and friend, there's usually a party, especially talking about a spiritual party, that's sometimes greater than the other. And I have college students come all the time and they're like, "Man, I'm really interested in this guy, or I'm really interested in this girl, and I just don't think they're a believer." And we talk about it. Okay, how's this going to work out for you? Are you going to be able to bring them up to the level that you are, or are they going to take you down to the level they are? So here's what I need you to do. You okay with sitting on the floor facing me? Okay, I'm going to get in the chair. All right, so here's the illustration. I'm not saying I'm any like elite believer, but typically here's the idea. If I reach down and try to pull this friend up, it's so hard that typically that friend is going to pull me down, okay? So here we go. You're going to try to pull me off the chair, and I'm going to try to lift you up. Are you ready? Are you sure? Why are you laughing? You think I'm going to fall on you? Are you stronger than me? I'm so stronger than you, right? Like I'm stronger than her, right? Like you agree with that? Okay. Are you ready? Wait, what? All right. Ready? Go. Pull Jackie. All right. So, thank you, Jackie. Everybody give her applause. There we go. Now she's all red. Okay. Now, I really did pull, and I really did try. But typically, guys, what happens when there's that relationship and there's that gap there, especially between a believer and a non-believer, more times than not, you get brought down to their level. And that's a very, very low place to be. Because after I've had that conversation with a student, and 2, 3, 4 weeks later, they come back in my office, and there's just tears streaming down their face, and they're like, "Here's where I went." You've got to choose your friends wisely. Now, here's the hard part about that, because in youth group growing up, the youth minister always said, you know, you need to have those friends that aren't believers. Okay. But I was never taught how to have those friends that weren't believers. And I was never taught the temptation that I was going to be put into with those friends that weren't believers. And I was never taught you need to surround yourself with believers that are going to strengthen you and encourage you and lift you up when you have those friendships with non-believers. So yes, we do need to have relationships and we do need to have friendships with non-believers. Otherwise, how are we ever going to fulfill the Great Commission and going and tell people about Christ? It's not going to happen. And so I encourage you, develop those relationships. All right. Number two, how to keep your friends. All right. How to keep your friends. Support one another. Proverbs 27:10 says this, "Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father." Now, as I was studying for this today, I came across this little story about two guys walking through the woods and they were going on a journey. And all of a sudden, in their path is this bear. And one of the friends, seeing the bear, immediately jumps up in the tree and hides himself with the branches. And the second guy, still on the ground, figuring that he's about to get eaten, he falls to the ground and lays as flat as he can. And as the bear comes and kind of sniffs him and tries to see what's going on, the guy holds his breath and just remains as still as possible. And eventually the bear wanders off. And the guy that scurried up the tree comes down the tree and is kind of checking his friend out. Are you okay? You know, that was the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me. And so he asks his friend that stayed on the ground, well, what did that bear whisper in your ear? And the guy says, well, he gave me this advice. Never go on a journey with somebody that's going to leave you in the face of danger. How to make friends. We can't desert our friends when danger comes. Guys, this is probably the saddest thing about friendships that I see. When something happens, when somebody stumbles, when somebody makes a mistake, we tend to withdraw from them. And I see it more and more happen with believers. And as we draw away from that person, there's no grace there. There's no grace that Jesus extended down to us. And so instead of going and helping our brother up or standing there and trying to fight this battle that they're going through right beside them, we run. Or they're on the ground and we kick them. Like, well, you messed up. Boom, take that. There's no grace. And therefore, we run and we leave our friends stranded in the face of danger. The hardest part about being a friend sometimes is really being truthful. A lot of us have a hard time with controversy or conflict, and we really don't want to rock the boat. And there's some instances, guys, I've got to be honest, where you need to rock the boat. You need to be truthful with your friends. You need to share with them what you see happening in their lives. And so that brings us to number two of this part. You can't chain down your friends. Okay? You can't chain down your friends. Whenever you get that friend that you've been waiting for your whole life, you can't chain them in a room and keep them as only your friend. And you can't be the one that every time they see you, you're asking for something, or you're just this person that's right beside them and they've got no bubble. Okay? You can't chain your friends down. And don't be the friend that's always asking for something. You've got to be able to have this give and take relationship to be that true friend. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Ecclesiastes 4:10, if one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Keeping a friend requires a lot of work. And I think many of you would agree with that. Some friends are so easy. You can just sit down, have the most amazing conversations. You can talk about whatever's going on. And then you have those friends that, man, it's a struggle. And you ask God, why are they in my life? You know what I'm talking about? Why do I struggle so hard to make this friendship work? But God continues to prod you to befriend that person. Friendship is hard. Number three, how to minister to a friend. How to minister to a friend. Be willing to confront a friend. This kind of goes back to what we talked about a little bit before. Be willing to confront a friend when they are wrong. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. If we were honest, many of us would rather accept the kiss of deceit than the wound from a friend. And it's basically because we know in our own lives we're living a life that's not quite jiving with Christ. And so we continue to go down this dark road and we continue to see, you know what, I would rather have a kiss of deceit. I would rather have this kiss of going this way than for a friend to truly come and tell me what they see going on in my life. The wounds of a friend and the deceit of a kiss. Ministering to friends are sometimes very hurtful. They don't want to hear the truth. I remember I had a friend in college, and We shared a lot together. He struggled even in college. He struggled with alcoholism, and he saw some things in my life that weren't quite right there. And so we challenged each other. I was that guy that when he had that temptation, he could call me any time of the night, and it happened a lot. But I would go over. We would hang out. And it just helped. And I was the same way. I could call him in any time of need. But we ministered to each other because we sharpened each other. We're going to look at that here in just a sec. But you've got to have those people that are willing to minister to your life and give even when they don't have anything to give. And that's the part of being a true friend. A true friend won't talk about you behind your back. Instead, they will confront you face to face. And then they'll go put it on Facebook. Not really. Don't do that either. That's wrong. B of this part. Be willing to comfort a friend when they are hurting. Proverbs 14:10 says, "The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share in its joy." I think this is true for all of us. We've probably all at some point had someone come to us and tell us something that's going on in their life, whether it's they're struggling with a sin or somebody's just passed away or this or that, and we make the comment, "I know how you feel. I know what you're going through." No, you don't. You don't know what they're going through. You may think you know what they're going through, but you don't know what they're going through. And so going back to this verse, the heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share in its joy. Being me, I'm a fixer. Students come in my office, I have the hardest time, and some of them can tell you that sometimes they just want me to like just shut up. But they come in my office, and they start telling me things, and I just immediately, "I've got the fix for you. Here's where you're wrong, you know, da-da-da-da-da." And so I immediately start trying to fix this situation, when in reality, guys, I really do just need to be quiet. And I really do need to not make a comment. I know what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through. Only God knows what you're going through. And I definitely appreciate you sharing this with me, but here's what I'm doing. I'm going to listen to you. And I'm going to take every word in. And as your friend, I'm going to try to be that shoulder that you can cry on. I'm going to try to be that punching bag that you need to hit. I'm going to try to be whatever it is you need me to be, aside from stepping away from Christ, so that you can see what Christ's love is all about. And not trying to fix the situation, not trying to fix the problem. Sometimes we just need to be quiet. Finally, a true friend is one who makes you a better person. This goes back to my friend from college. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Challenge your friends with the word of God, and I promise it will not return void. And that's scripture. Know the word of God so that you can take it to them and say, here's what's going on. Here's what I see in your life. Or here's something amazing that I see in your life. Challenge your friends with the word of God in trying to minister to them. We all need good company in our life. We all need those friends that we can rely on. We all need that companionship. We all need those people that we can call up at 2 a.m. and just say, "You know what? I can't sleep. I'm struggling with this. My mind's doing this. I need help." And so getting smart about having friends is a lot about how to make them, how to keep them, how to minister to them. But it's how we choose them. And it's how we maintain those friendships that's even more of the key. The thing is, guys, as friends, and many of you have probably gone through this situation, but as a friend, if I'm your friend, I'm just going to be upfront with you. I'm going to let you down at some point. I'm going to forget that we had a lunch date. I'm going to forget that your mother passed away, or I'm going to forget those things, or I'm going to be insensitive sometime for some reason, whatever, I don't know, but I'm going to let you down. And if you can sit there and say, you know what, I'm a good friend, I'm not ever going to let anybody down, you're deceiving yourself. Because we are sinful people, and we will let our friends down. And the only one that will not let you down is Jesus Christ. Part of ministering to a friend is being willing to pray for a friend. And I'm not talking about, you know what, I'm going to pray for you, kind of throwing out the God card, and then you walk away and you never pray. Stop right there and pray for your friend. Lift them up in prayer, whatever the situation. It could be good or bad. Praise God in the good times. Praise Him in the bad times. But take your friends to the foot of Jesus and allow Him to mend that. As the band comes back up, I want to share just kind of one closing verse talking about the fact that a friend in Jesus, that constant friendship that you can have in Jesus that will not fade. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." You guys, Christ has paid the ultimate price for you and I. He's paid that price so that we could have friendship with him, so that we could go to the Father, so that we could confess, so that we could have grace, so that we could have this and this and this. But greater love has no one than this. No one in this room, no one outside of this room is going to show you complete love in all of your screw-ups the way that Christ can. No one. As good a friend as you want to be, you don't have that love. And Christ does. And so as we close, we want to give you the opportunity to know what it's like to have that friendship with Christ. To know without a shadow of a doubt that when you screw up and you feel like no one else is there, that Christ is constant and He's the one that's going to be there. And so as you stand and as we sing, I want you to know within your heart that Christ can save you. And if you don't have that saving relationship with Christ, we want to talk to you about that. We want to share with you in that. But if you're looking for a church home, and maybe the first 7 to 12 minutes really caught your attention, and you want to make this your church home, we want to rejoice with you in that as well. And so during this time of invitation, as you stand, will you come? And just maybe you need to come lay some things. Maybe you need to grab a friend from the audience and just pray with them. But as we stand, we'll sing and you come.